listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Brown.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us as our guest pastor studying God's Word. Tell us about St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas.
Well, St. John is a we're a remote, rural congregation. St. John has about 20 people in it. We're not one of those big cities. It has its own zip code. So the mailing address is Westphalia. We are proud to be the second-ranked church in the state of Kansas, if you go by alphabet. If you go by Westphalia, then it's different. But, no, it's a very friendly country church, a lot of family. It's a very fine little church.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas, even if you don't have your own zip code. We are studying 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 14. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text today?
It's always a joy to spend time with John. I've always enjoyed reading his gospel and then the revelation. They all tie together, and you see many of the same themes here in 1 John that you see in his other writings. That's it's a neat picture that you have of John. John, when he writes this, is aged, and he has lived a life. He's ministered to the people around Ephesus and then the people in that area. He's had a long, full life. He's seen all of his other brothers die, most of them by horrible deaths, which was also witness to their deaths were witnesses to what they had seen and what they had witnessed. And now John's left, and Jesus hasn't returned. He's getting old, and Jesus may not return until he dies. Before he dies, and so here is his testimony, his witness to those who come after him. That's one of the things of his gospel. Why do we believe? Why do we believe? Well, we believe based on what we've been told from eyewitnesses. And John is the last eyewitness to give us his testimony. And that's what he does in this letter, to encourage people in the community that he's writing to help them withstand the false teachers and those who would like to pervert and change this message. That's a neat letter.
Well, very good. We are studying 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 14 today with Pastor Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. If you have a question or a comment on the text, give us a call or an email. Be glad to take some questions as we're working through this text in 1 John today as we're studying God's Word. The phone number, 314-821-0850 in St. Louis, or toll-free in North America at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at the text, 1 John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Now that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. All right, so that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim it to you. All right, that which was from the beginning, Pastor.
Yeah, John's, this is his prologue, and he has a prologue in his gospel also, which is a lot longer, but this is his prologue, kind of sums up all of the themes that he's going to be covering here in these few verses. I think this has a real neat apologetic function where he says, we have heard this. And this is something I have seen. I have heard this. I have touched this with my hands. Jesus appeared and they touched him. This is something physical You know, and John says, I can no more deny that I have touched this than I can deny that I am touching this table or I'm sitting on this chair. This is something that has changed my life. This is something that I will spend my entire life proclaiming. So it's certainly an apologetic function.
Mm-hmm. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. It was made manifest.
Yeah, it's invisible. It was, you know, brought to us. It was made manifest. It was made flesh. You know, John has three themes here, three words that he touches on in his in this prologue. You know, light is one, and then he has fellowship, and then he closes with joy, the word of life and fellowship, this community of Christ, and then joy. And then he also proclaims that he spent his life proclaiming, and at the end of it, he's going to be talking about writing it. You're writing these things. So first he proclaims, and now he's writing.
That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So yeah, this community is, you know, what is this community? This community is the community of Jesus. Fellowship. Community. So many times, you know, people think that, you know, they can be individual Christians, but we're called to a fellowship and called to a community. That's what John says. John is encouraging this. Creates a community. It's a fellowship with the eyewitnesses and a fellowship with the believers at that time and a fellowship, you know, with those to come.
And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
Yeah. I always thought that was interesting. Joy. That our joy may be complete. You know, there are other times. What does he mean by joy and complete? And in 2 John, he talks about joy and complete. I was overjoyed to find some of you. Some of you also believing. You know, it gives him joy to find other believers, people who are, it's going to be great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And then also in 2 John, verse 12, he talks about joy, where he says, I have much to write you. I do not want to use paper and ink. I want hope to visit with you and talk to you face to face, so our joy may be complete. Gives him joy to be around other Christians and to see them being faithful in their faith walk and their joy.
Anything else about this first chapter here? About anything else in this first paragraph before we go on to the next chapter?
It's a nice paragraph. I like the joy theme. And you know, he also talks about it in his gospel. But it's a lot of good things there.
All right. Let's take a look at chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So, my little children, he addresses them.
Yeah, and you know, what a tender term. And like a father addressing his children. And it's very tender. We didn't have the last part of chapter 1, where he talks about walking in the light and that light and light and darkness.
Oh, I skipped a whole section. I skipped a whole paragraph. I scrolled ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, there's good stuff in chapter 2, but there's good stuff there in the last part of chapter 1 also.
I jumped over a whole paragraph. Let's go back to that, and then we'll go back and talk about children. Sorry about that.
That was some problem.
Well, something new. Not a good way to start off the whole new church year, is it? To skip a whole paragraph in our study. Sorry about that. My goodness. All right, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Please forgive me for skipping that. I thought that first chapter was very short. So this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Yeah, that light and darkness theme is, one that John talks about a lot in his body of work. Jesus talks about, I am the light of the world, and in John's prologue, he talks about that. In Revelation, they talk about in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth, there will be no sun because God is the light. So this theme of light and darkness is one that he uses, quite a bit. And it was not only just in John, but also, throughout the Bible, they talk about that theme of light, darkness. And I don't want to have a spoiler alert, but I think I talk about that in the devotion that we have coming up. And especially on Advent, as the world seems to be getting darker, physically, the day gets shorter, and, you look at events around the world, and it seems awfully dark, and it was dark in John's time also, but the light is coming into the world, so the new day is dawning.
If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth.
This letter is really structured in a neat way, because he has several of these. He has three things here right in a row. Where he is pointing out some of the false teaching and then giving a correct teaching. It's kind of a if-then-but clause. If they say this, then they are doing this wrong, but this is right. And so there in verse 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's a if, then, and but. Countering the false teaching that, is all around them, and the consequences of that false teaching, and then offering the correct teaching. If, then, and but. And he also does that in verse 8 and verse 10.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So here's we had the if. Now we have the but. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yeah, and that's the good news. Yeah.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Yeah. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Probably, people may have said, I've heard that someplace before. Yeah, they probably heard it in our confession and absolution.
Exactly.
I've heard, that comes from the Bible. How about that?
If
yeah, if we say we have no sin, and you know, John's going to talk about this, you know, sin. If we say we have no sin in our world, you know, and you know, back in his time and in our time today, you know, what is sin? People don't like to say they sin. I'd like to say I make mistakes. I messed up once or twice. I have a few minor flaws. You know, I'm not quite perfect. But John says, no, we're sinners. We sin because we sin because we are sinners. And if we say we don't sin, you know, we're lying. And not only that, but we're saying God is a liar.
Right. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 10.
That's not good. So that is once again, that is another if then. You know, if we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You have to go down to verse, now we go down to chapter 2 to find the but clause. If then we have the but there in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2.
All right, well, we'll get to that when we come back from the break. Sorry, I jumped ahead to that text already. We'll get to it, though, here in just a little bit. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or KFUO at KFUO.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. St. Paul's Lutheran Church de Pere invites you to a service of sacred music featuring St. Paul's choirs, handbells, and orchestra on Saturday the 12th at 5 p.m. and Sunday the 13th at 4 p.m. May your heart be filled with peace and joy as you hear the Word of God. For you, a child was born. For you, Jesus was given.
Concord Matters is a show seeking agreement in Christian confession. I'm Pastor Charles Henriksen, one of the hosts of Concord Matters, heard on Worldwide KFUO each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central and a repeat on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central. We take an in-depth look at the Book of Concord with some fine Lutheran theologians. Concord Matters, live on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. We're in 1 John chapters 1 and 2 this morning. If you have a question or a comment, the number's 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us KFUO at KFUO.org. All right, Pastor Brown, anything else in chapter 1 before we go on to chapter 2? Did I skip anything else?
That theme of darkness and light in our Nicene Creed, we talk about, you know, God of God, light of light, theme of darkness and light, and then those if, then, and but clauses.
All right. So let's look for more here of chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So my little children is the term that he uses to address him. And we started to get into this a little bit ago.
Yeah, it's a tender term of affection. You know, he sees himself as their father, their spiritual father, and they are his little children. It's a, you know, a great, you know, term of endearment and tenderness. He has a great pastoral heart for them.
But if anyone sins, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Yeah, and this is the but clause. If we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If somebody on our side, a paraclete, and a counselor, a defense attorney, if we sin, that is, when we sin. I mean, if anyone does sin, we're going to be, we do sin. But I always think that's kind of funny. If we do sin, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody on our side. Jesus Christ, the righteous.
The next verse, great word in this, a great word. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Propitiation, that's one of those big church words. you don't want to stand too close to the person who's reading that if they're a spitter. The propitiation, what does that mean? Some have translated it as the atoning sacrifice. I always enjoy, sometimes I enjoy reading, the message, what Eugene Peterson, how he translates that. He served as a sacrifice for our sins. He solved the sin problem for good, not only ours, but the whole world. So he just has it as a sacrifice for sins. And that's kind of hard, for people to understand that word. What that means. And it's only Jesus' blood, only him offering himself on the cross, only his suffering and death, only the word of life in the flesh that has that power to save, the power to cover, the power to cleanse, and to blot out all of our sins.
Not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah, for everybody, all of and mine are enough. They cover everybody for all time. And if we, if we understand the sin problem and our complete inability, we don't need a teacher. We need somebody to a rescuer, somebody to reach down and pull us up because we're powerless to do this on our own. And if we understand the sin problem, then we will appreciate what a great, life. Giving, what an extraordinary gift this is for the whole world.
And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments.
Yeah. And others will say instruction, the commandments, instruction, because, who has kept his commandments? How do we know? This is John writing to his community, and how do we know that we're in the community, and how do we know that those people claim to be followers, but they aren't keeping his commandments, they aren't keeping his instructions? How do we know it's who's inside and who's outside? And this is how we will know if we keep his commandments, if we keep his instruction. And, what is the instruction? What are the commandments? And I think that, when you think of the Ten Commandments, I haven't kept them. I haven't done a very good job of that. And, so then you go back to if we sin. Well, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Points out that we have not kept these. And, John wants us to know Jesus. What is the will of God is, to know Jesus. To know and then to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus. Put our faith in Jesus.
Yes, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected.
We got John, the God is love. He talks about love quite a bit.
By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked.
So life of discipleship. Walking as Jesus walked, and walking a life of love, a self-sacrificial love.
Anything else up through verse 6 before we go on to the next paragraph, Pastor?
You know, people have, people can have hard times with this. You know, if we embrace his instruction, if we keep his commandments, it's knowing Jesus, hearing the word of God and keeping it. And that's what we all try to do. We don't do it perfectly, but we try to do that. We do sin, but we don't do it perfectly, but we are forgiven for not keeping it.
All right, let's take a look at the next paragraph. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
Yeah, once again, that darkness, light, and darkness theme.
I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning.
And what was that commandment? What did Jesus say that commandment was? Love your neighbor. Love God by loving your neighbor. Acts of love for God, through acts of love and serving your neighbor. I think that was what I think John is referring to.
It's the old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is also a new commandment. It is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining.
Love our neighbor, is still new and powerful. We are new creation. This is something that we do every day.
Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness.
So that's, once again, is who is inside the church and who is inside this community of faith that was created by Jesus and is upheld, continued by Jesus. Who is inside this community and who is outside? Earlier they said, if you do not keep his commandments or his instructions, you are not in this community. And here, if you hate your brother, hate is still in darkness. And love and hate. Hate is an awfully, love. Hate and love are incompatible. And what is hate? That's an awfully, a word that has a lot of baggage with it. What does it mean to hate your brother?
Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
Yeah. So if you love your brother, we show that it's selfless regard for others in the community of faith, acts of love, acts of service, acts of sacrifice for your neighbor, loving your neighbor, loving God by loving your neighbor, and then that shows that you're in the light. Your light is such a theme of it reveals, it shows, it purifies. It. So you're walking in darkness. You show that you're walking in darkness through acts of love for your neighbor.
All right. Shall we go on to verse 12, Pastor? Anything else
sure.
up through verse 11?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff there.
I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. All right, so we have some different verb tenses here. I am writing in verses 12 and 13, but then in 14, I write to you. I write versus I am writing.
Yeah, and this is inclusive. He's writing to this family. He's writing to all believers of all ages. Little children is once again the theme that he had there at the beginning of chapter 2. All members of this community, of this fellowship in Christ, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake.
I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning.
Yeah. And what does it mean by fathers? A father would be somebody, I think, who is, mature in the faith. It's somebody who's been, who's solid, somebody who, is mature in the faith. And because you know him who is from the beginning.
I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one.
Young men, that would imply, a father would be somebody, I think, who is maybe a little bit older. A young man is somebody who's still in battle, somebody who is still, is still growing, somebody who is still developing their faith, still fighting and still overcoming this evil one.
I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
I think it's different stages in our faith life, our faith journey. I write to you, children, and fathers, and once again, young men. It kind of repeats the same thing. I am writing and I write. This is something that has happened. It's ongoing. This is going on now, and it will be going on in the future. This struggle that, this growth, spiritual growth, and this journey that we are in, we are all still fighting this battle while we are drawing breath, while we are in the the church militant. We are still growing, and these are words of encouragement that John writes to people who are still in various stages of their spiritual journey. And we, I think we are all on these stages at the same time. We are all, I'm still growing. I'm still a child. And I'm still a young man, still in the battle.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you would like for us to learn today?
I think these are, you can look at this through Advent eyes. You can look at this through apologetic eyes. You can look at this through, there are just many, very many comforting themes in this first letter of John, as in all of his writing. It points out the reality of sin, that, we are sinners, but the good news that our sin is paid for. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. And that is just wonderful words of encouragement and comfort that were written to a church that was, facing struggle and opposition from the world around them. And words that certainly can apply to us today, as we also, face struggle and opposition from the world around us. The world was dark then, and the world is dark now, but it's the good news that Jesus has come, that Jesus has come, that Jesus will return, and Jesus is with us today, and as we study his word.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. Pastor Brown, thanks for being our guest pastor and helping us study today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
God bless you and all the saints there at St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify this morning for you. Some Advent, hopefully, on the way as well. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.